Well, I'm here. I saw some people that don't usually come to Cornerstone. I'm not the guy who usually does this. So feel free to come back next week, okay? Regardless of what happens today. I'm here because I said yes. And why did I say yes? A couple of things. Number one, I made the decision ahead of time to say yes. I'll talk about that a little bit later. I think I've shared that before. But I make those decisions ahead of time so that it's done. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to come up with excuses. I don't have to say, well, let me think about it. Let me pray about it. Let me see if it works in my schedule. I just make a decision to say yes ahead of time. So when Johnny asked, I said yes. A lot of why I say yes is because God can take care of today regardless of who's up here. So in spite of me, his will can be accomplished today. I'm too little and he's too big for me to get in the way of that. So let's keep that in mind. Today I want to talk about the word intentional. I'm going to read a definition of intentional. I'm going to unzip my Bible here. Intentional, done on purpose, deliberate, willful. And we all do things intentionally. I do some things intentionally. I made a list. I set my alarm intentionally. I charge my phone intentionally. I get to work early intentionally. And I call my mom intentionally. Now, why do I do those things intentionally? Because they're important to me. And if I don't do them intentionally, then they may not get done. Does that make sense? Now let's look at the opposite of intentional. That's accidental, inadvertent, unplanned. So if we go back to my list, if I wasn't intentional about setting my alarm, then it might not get set, right? Which means I might not get to work early, which is something I like to do intentionally. And also might mean my phone didn't get charged if I didn't do it intentionally. And my mom might not get called. Now, which of those do you suppose is the worst? Not calling mom, right. I woke up with a scratchy throat today, so I'm going to be doing a lot of that. Thank you. Yes, amen. My point is that we intentionally do things that are important to us. And if you want to know what's important to you, then why don't you go ahead right now and make a mental list in your head of things that you do on purpose, things that you do intentionally. Okay? So I'm going to give you a few seconds. Think about that. What do you do intentionally? Things that you do on purpose. Those are the things that you really value. And I hope that's a positive for you. Some of you may be thinking, uh-oh, here's the things I do on purpose. And maybe those things aren't what you really want to value. Now, I want you to think about things that are not on your list. You had that list of things that you like to do on purpose or intentionally. Now I want you to think of, in the other terms, what are some things that are not on your list today? And what I might challenge you with is that those things that are not on your list to do on purpose or to do intentionally, are those really important to you? Now you might say they're important to you, but are they important to you? I talk to kids a lot at school. I'm a counselor there, and many times students that don't earn good grades, I'll ask them about how important that is to them. They say, well, it's important to me. Yet, they're not doing the things that they need to do to get the good grades. They're capable, but they're not doing it. So I challenge them to think, are good grades really important to you or not? And so let's look at your things that are not on your list. Are those things really important to you? If they're not on your list that you're doing intentionally, then how important really are they? We need to be doing those things intentionally. Now, I want to warn you here that I looked through my notes, and I can sound kind of preachy. I'm sorry. I can sound critical. I can sound like I have all the answers, and I do not. So what I want you to do today is when you start thinking, you know, he's being a little critical, he's being kind of preachy, can you substitute a couple different words in there for preachy? Like how about, can you substitute challenging? Maybe he's challenging me today. Maybe he's encouraging. Maybe it's kind of the coach in me. I like to challenge my runners and encourage my runners. So today, if you think I'm coming off a little preachy, a little too critical, like I have the answers, substitute challenging or encouraging in there. Is that a deal? You do that for me? Give me that much grace. And something else I've found is when I preach and I'm thinking about the message, it's always something I need to hear. I mean, that honestly, I think that's why I'm talking about being intentional, is because in my heart, I know that I'm not intentional with the things I need to be intentional with. And so I for sure want you to hear this today, that I'm preaching to myself, and if you can get anything out of the message today that's for me, then praise God. So we're going to take a quick poll. I'm going to ask you three questions. Number one, do we believe that we are created for a purpose? And in your mind, you can just answer that yes or no. I know Johnny likes you to shout out answers, but I'm afraid if you shout out answers, they won't be the ones I was hoping for. Then I won't know how to react. So answer this one to yourself. Do you believe that you're created for a purpose? Number two, if you're created for a purpose, do you want to fulfill that purpose? Number three, if you want to fulfill that purpose, do you have a plan? I want you to think about your answers. If you answer number one, do you believe that you were created for a purpose? If that's yes, then this message is for you today. And if you believe you're created for a purpose with a yes answer to one, and you have a desire to fulfill that purpose, if that's a yes answer, this message is for you today. And if the answer to yes is number three, is question three, do you have a plan to fulfill that purpose? If the answer to that's yes, then you really don't need this message today. You already have a plan. But if that's a no, then this might be for you. And if the answer to number one or two is no, then I don't know if I can help you today. I want you to think about living intentionally and not just hoping that by being alive, by going through life, that you're going to fulfill the purpose that God's created you for accidentally. So that's kind of where we're headed today. We're going to talk about what we want to get done or what you would like to get done, what God would like us to get done, what the Word says we should be doing, and how we're going to do that. I said a little bit ago that I made a decision to say yes. I did that a few years ago. I just said I'm going to say yes, even before I know what the question is. And I do that because that's an intentional decision I made a long while back to intentionally say yes when I'm asked to do things, regardless of how I feel. I'm just going to say yes, regardless of whether I want to or not, because really, I don't want to, I would prefer not to be up here today. Just hope that's not really unspiritual, but it's easier to sit in the back for me. And I say yes regardless of convenience. I say yes anyway. To me, that's my first stage of being intentional. So let's look at the Word, and let's see if we can find something that we should be intentional about. Let's go to 1 Peter. I'm going to have to put glasses on too sometimes here. 1 Peter 4:10, if we put that up. Oh, I've got a different version. I'm just going to read off the screen. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Use them well to serve one another. Now, why would God give each of us spiritual gifts? Anybody want to answer that one? To serve. He's given us each a gift from his great variety of gifts, spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. So can we agree then that serving is maybe something that we should be intentional about? Okay? The Greek word serve means to wait upon someone, to attend someone. It's akin to the word for slave or servant. It's sometimes been translated minister to. So hopefully you can agree that serving or ministering to another person is something that we should be intentional about. So how are you at serving others? When you went through your mental list of things you do intentionally, was serving on there, was ministering to others on your list of things that you do intentionally, or was that left off the list when you made that? You just hoping that that happens accidentally, that by attending church, going to work, that you'll somehow be serving others or ministering to other people? I can tell you that if you don't have a plan, if you're not intentional, those service isn't likely to happen. Ministry is not likely to happen. You have to make a conscious decision to do that, because it's just not real natural, because in the flesh, you don't have to hold your hand up, but I would, if that's me. In the flesh, I would rather be served, right? Who doesn't want to be taken care of, and who doesn't want to feel special and have their needs met? I mean, we all do. That's us in the flesh. So that's the natural man. It's our human nature. But if we want to follow what Jesus modeled for us, then we're going to put others ahead of ourselves, and we're going to begin to serve others. Now, does that mean that by serving others that our needs will not be met? No. On the contrary, if we have a good, healthy body of Christ, we can all serve and we can all be served. Now, I was trying to figure out, you know, if I could explain that. And I'd probably go around in circles to get that done. So I'm going to use some volunteers. And the other thing I meant to do is ask for the first volunteer, and I didn't do that. So bear with me. This is unrehearsed. We're going to get some volunteers up on stage to show you what a healthy body of Christ looks like to serve others and to be served. So I need that first volunteer. I need that first volunteer. Anybody want to come up on stage? Yep, come on up, Jared. Thank you, brother. I'm going to need some other volunteers too, so don't think you're off the hook yet. Jared, we're going to put you, how about right here? Okay. Now, to simulate that he has a need, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Okay? You want to raise your hand for me? Now, if that gets tiring, you can switch hands, switch arms, okay? So, Jared has a need. Now, is there someone in the body of Christ that can meet that need? I'm looking for my second volunteer. My second volunteer. Oh, come on. Don't leave me hanging like this. All right, there's my second volunteer. Just come on up. I'm just going to have you, point your arm out towards him. Okay, not even so close. We're going to have a lot of people up here. There you go, just like that. Okay, so she's serving, she's ministering to the need he has, okay? Now, even though she's a servant, sometimes she might have a need as well, right? I saw a hand up over here somewhere. Yeah, come on up. And you're going to serve and minister to her, so just point your hand out to her, okay? And now guess what's going to happen next? He might have a need too, right? Is there somebody in the body of Christ that can meet that need? Right there, brother. Thank you. Thank you. Right. We're not all perfect. No one has everything together. We all have needs. We all need ministry at different times, right? Okay? And it doesn't have to be ongoing ministry. Okay? Let's do one more volunteer, because Keith sometimes, I know, needs ministry. Right? Raise your hand, Keith. He needs some ministry. I need one more volunteer. One more and we'll wrap it up. I knew you were going to help me out. Amen. Okay, so point your hand to him. Okay? Amen. And then pretty soon he has a need. And guess what? Jared's been ministered to for quite a while. He doesn't have that need anymore. Right? He's been taken care of. He's getting healthy in Christ. And you know what he sees? He sees a need down here. Can you walk down here? Can you point out? Point right there to Don. Just point to him. Now what we've got is an example of the body of Christ meeting each other's needs and getting their needs met. But I tell you what, you got to go back to the verse. He's given each of us a gift from his great variety of spiritual needs. You have different giftings. We need all of you in the body of Christ serving, ministering to one another, because the same person can't meet all the needs. Does that make sense? What we've done is we've created a healthy person here by ministering to him so that he can minister to others. And you know, you can put your hands down now. Don't go anywhere quite yet. You know, I was thinking of this example in my mind, and you know what we also did by having a healthy body of Christ? Let's say Jared maybe has never ministered to somebody before. Maybe he's a new Christian. Maybe he's an unbeliever. What we did was we discipled him. We taught him how to minister, right? The example that we set, somebody reaching out to him, ministering to him, witnessing the needs being met, people ministering to one another, we discipled that guy. All right, thank you. Let's give these guys a hand. Thank you. Now again, that may not have been the best way to explain that, but in my mind at 12:30 in the morning, that was kind of it. And so I was just going to go with it. You know, we're talking mainly about serving today and being intentional with our service and intentional with our ministry. But there's some other places that we can be intentional. And that's with discipleship. Just want to mention that. But that's kind of for another Sunday. Let's go back to 1 Peter 4:10. I kind of mentioned this already, but as a body, we have a multitude of different gifts that God has given us. And you know that we have a multitude of different needs, right? And so if we have just a few people being intentional with their ministry, all the needs are not going to get met. Does that make sense? And the people doing the ministering, they can get worn down. They need ministry as well. Now, if serving sounds complicated, it's not. Just learn to say yes. Can we try that real quick? On the count of three, can we say yes? One, two, three. Yes. Oh, one more time. One, two, three. Yes. Once we begin to say yes, it becomes easier for us. Start small. Make a decision that the next time you hear about a need, you're going to say yes. I'm going to do something about that. Make a decision that the next time you're asked to serve someplace, you're going to say yes. The decision's already made. You're going to say yes. Whether that's a church dinner, whether that's moving someone, whether that's helping somebody at their house, whenever you hear about a need, see a brother or sister that's hurting, pray for them, minister to them, make a decision that that's what I'm going to do, not just do it when I feel like it or do it when it's convenient. See, if you make that decision ahead of time, then you don't have to think, well, what else have I got going on or what else could I do instead of doing that, right? Or does it work on my schedule? I don't really feel that good right now. Maybe another time I'll help. Hey, make the decision ahead of time. The question has already been asked. Question's already been answered. Be intentional. Let me tell you somebody that is intentional. Satan. Satan is intentional. Let's go to 1 Peter 5:8. I think it's going to be better if I read it off the screen because this bigger print. Makes sense, right? Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He is being intentional. Does that give you a picture of being intentional? Satan being intentional? It doesn't say that Satan is like a lazy lion, laying back in his cave, waiting for someone to wander in and say, devour me. Right? No, it says he is like a roaring lion. Some versions say roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. That's an intentional picture right there. And if Satan's intentional, boy, we better be intentional, right? I want to mention a couple of other areas that we could be intentional about, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them. Are you intentionally worshiping? Psalms 96:9. Are you intentionally worshiping? Worship the Lord in all his holy splendor. Let all the earth tremble before him. Are you worshiping only when you feel like it? Only when you're in a good mood? Only when things are going your way, when you feel like God's blessed you and you're not facing any struggles? Is that when you worship? Or do you come in here every Sunday ready to worship regardless of your circumstance, regardless of how you feel? Do you worship on Mondays? Do you worship on Tuesdays? Do you worship on Wednesdays? Just think about worshiping intentionally. Are you intentionally discipling? Matthew 28:19-20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Have you made a plan to disciple? Or is your discipleship accidental? You think, well, I'll go to work and somebody will watch me and see me and they'll be discipled just by being in the cubicle next to me. These things don't really happen accidentally. You don't accidentally serve. You don't accidentally minister to people. You don't accidentally worship or disciple. Those are things that are in the Word that we should do. And honestly, if they're important to us, we need to make a plan. We need to be intentional. It'd be awesome if we... Now, I can think of people who do this. They serve so much that I think people just call them servants. We have a couple in our body that do that. Several people. Wouldn't it be awesome if that's just who we became? Because when I go to bed at night, I don't even think about setting my alarm. I just set it. I don't think about, well, I'll go find my phone, got to plug it in. I set my alarm, I charge my phone, make a plan to get to work early. I don't always call my mom at night, but not every night. But I just do those things because they are a habit right now. I've been intentional about those things so much that those are habits I have. Now, how many would like to have a habit of serving? That's probably why I'm preaching the message today, because I would like to have a habit of serving, a habit of meeting needs, a habit of ministering to people. Those things can become who we are the more we do them. And we'll do them more if we make a plan and we're intentional to do those things. Am I getting repetitive? I know how some of you are. You need to hear things more than once before it sinks in. I'm not going to mention any names. Now, please don't say that, this isn't me. I don't serve. You know, I'll do some other stuff, but I don't serve. That's not my strength. You know what? That doesn't absolve you from this, because let's go back. Can we put 1 Peter 4:10 back up? We're all called to serve one another, okay? You may not be comfortable with it, but doesn't mean you can't get there. And honestly, it's more than just going through the day, and I've heard people pray this, and there's nothing wrong with this, but if this is all we're doing, it's probably a little bit incomplete. God, show me today, put somebody in my path today that I can minister to. You know, you might as well say, God, put a big red X on them so I'll know who it is. You know, that's not really the way that's going to work. Sure, you have to take opportunities when they're there, and you have to be open and receptive to those. But it's more than just taking opportunities. It's making opportunities. You know where service needs to happen. And you know where ministry needs to happen. Don't just pray that, you know, God's going to have that person walk into your cave, right? Take opportunities, but you also need to create opportunities. Decide to make that phone call. You know people that are hurting. You know the people that need some fellowship. Make that phone call. Ask them to go out for breakfast, for lunch. Ask them if you can pray for them. There's people in the sanctuary this morning that you know are hurting. They're not going to come up to you and say, please pray for me, I'm hurting. You know who they are already. You've got to be intentional. You can't just say, well, God, if they come up to me, then I'll pray and minister to them. Make opportunities. I want to share one of my favorite verses. It's in Ephesians chapter 2, and it follows a couple of the more popular verses that people know, verses 8 and 9. Let's put Ephesians 2, okay, here we go, 2:8. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not from yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. And 2:10, this is the one that I really love. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The NIV says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I'm telling you, when I read that verse, it's like getting hit with a bucket of cold water. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works. You know, the verse could have stopped there, but there's a comma. You know, it could have been a period there, and that would have been a pretty darn good verse, wouldn't it? For we are God's workmanship. We're his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. That'd be awesome if that was it. But there's a comma there. It doesn't stop. Which God prepared in advance for us to do. So, there's good works that you're supposed to be doing. Right? I love that verse. Okay, let's go back to 8. I also thought about this. It follows 8 and 9. That verse could have been somewhere else, but it follows 8 and 9. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it's a gift of God. Verse 9, not by works so that no one can boast. You know, Ephesians 8 and 9 talk about salvation, a gift of God, nothing that we've done to deserve. So, we're not to be saved and stop at 8 and 9, right? 8 and 9 by themselves would be fine. Let's go to 10. 10 follows right after 8 and 9. We're saved through faith, a gift of God, not of ourselves, not so we can boast, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We're not saved just so we can go to heaven. 8 and 9, that's salvation. 10 follows that. We are saved for a purpose. To serve and to minister to one another. And you know what verse 10 does for us? It's kind of good news and bad news for you. I think verse 10 kind of takes away any and every excuse that you have for not ministering, not serving. And I think especially when you combine that with 1 Peter 4:10. You combine 1 Peter 4:10 with Ephesians 2:10. And guess what, people? Pull your toes back. You're out of excuses. If you believe those two verses, 1 Peter 4:10 and Ephesians 2:10. Now, I told you about 12:30 a.m. was when I came with that little idea for the visual up here. I think it was about 1 o'clock when I came up with a game that we're going to play. I really thought we needed a game because I figured about this time in the message, some of you are probably dozing off. So we need a game with some audience participation. Now, and you can play from your seat, okay? So you don't have to volunteer to come up here. This game is called No Excuses, okay? Now, I've asked our great team of experts up top if we can put both verses up. Oh, gosh, aren't they awesome? So we've got 4:10 there, and we've got Ephesians 2:10. Now, I'm going to give you an excuse for not serving, and you tell me which of those. Just say 1 Peter 4:10. You can shout that out, or you can shout out Ephesians 2:10. I'm going to give you an excuse for not serving. There's no one to minister to. First Peter 4:10, use them well to serve one another. There are people. Look next to you. Is there a one another there? I think there's a one another out there. So there's no excuse, okay? I don't have any special abilities. First Peter 4:10, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts, right? I wasn't created to do this. That's not who I am. Ephesians 2:10, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. There's nowhere to serve. Could be both of them. I'm going to go Ephesians 2:10. I mean, I want you to try to think of an excuse for not serving, okay? Take a couple seconds. Think of why I can't serve, why I can't minister to another person, why can't I meet the needs that someone in the body of Christ has. So come up with a reason, and then I want you to read those two verses and see if you still have a reason. Okay? Now's about the time when you should substitute that word for preachy. You should say, he's encouraging us. Let's use the church word. He's exhorting us. I'm not being critical, and I'm not preachy. I'm exhorting, and I'm encouraging you, right? So have you come up with an excuse yet that one of those verses can't solve? I can't. I went to bed at 3 o'clock, finally. So there are no excuses, okay? So we know God has something in store for us. He has equipped us, right? It wouldn't be good if we only had this. There's good works to do. You might feel a little bit inadequate. But look, he has equipped you for the good works that he has planned for you to do. Now, he just needs you to go do them, right? Remember the verse, 1 Peter 5:8. Remember, Satan, like a roaring lion, roaming, seeking whom he may devour. That verse gives him a lot of credit. Well, I wish we had some verses to give us some credit, so I made some up. Okay? Book of First Opinions here, I guess. I don't know. Now, these are not real. But how about if there was a verse like this? Gary is like a servant running around Walmart seeking someone to serve. Yeah, instead of Satan like a roaring lion, we got Gary, a servant, walking around Walmart seeking whom he can serve. How awesome would that be if that was his nature, to be intentional about this? How about this? Or Tim, a minister of the gospel, always looking for someone to disciple. Yeah, awesome. Or we could have this one. Well, let's hope we don't have this one. Or Tom, laying on his couch, watching his favorite TV show, waiting for someone to ring the doorbell to come in and say, Tom, would you minister to me? Now, if that's your plan for ministry, I don't think it's going to happen. But let's be intentional about our ministry. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to take this concept of intentionality. It's not a new concept, okay? And I want you to personalize it today. And for you today, if it's ministry, great. If it's service, great. If it's discipleship, if it's worship, if no matter what it is, I want you, it hits you where you're at, okay? I want you to think about how you can use the concept of intentionality to live your life. And you're going to like this next phrase I'm going to utter. As Jason comes, so you guys are going, okay. I want you to think about making some changes to be more intentional, whether it's with service, whether it's ministry, whatever God's going to put on your heart today. Just that decision to say yes, that decision to live more intentionally. And for some of you, maybe being intentional starts today with coming to the altar and saying yes. I'm going to make a decision today. I'm going to be a yes man, okay? Nothing wrong with being a yes man, okay? So maybe that's what you want to do. Maybe your decision to be intentional today is going to be walking across the sanctuary to find that person you know has a need, and you're going to ask him if you can help meet that need. Maybe that's what you're going to do today as your way of being intentional. I don't want to tell you how to be intentional. That really wasn't the message today. The message today was to encourage you that if something's important to you, then be intentional. And I wanted you also to be, maybe this wasn't a real inspirational message, but I want you to be inspired today that God has equipped you. You are capable. You are able. And he has put the needs out there. The needs are there. So you should maybe look at this message as a little bit more inspirational than it probably was, okay? You have what it takes to minister. You have what it takes to serve. That's 1 Peter 4:10. He has deposited in you a spiritual gift. Use it well to serve others. And there are needs there. So we're going to open up the altar for just a little bit. And if you want to come forward today, that's perfectly fine. If you don't, if you want to make a decision from your seat to live more intentionally, to serve God with intention, then you do that. Okay, we're just going to give you a couple of minutes.